thrilled to be here. Alan is a towering figure in social sciences and in public discussions nationally. I worked with Eric a couple years ago for the 2007 Gambling Conference, and it's just wonderful to be here. My son is going to join us later. He's off on an Eagle Eye tour of the campus, looking at campuses. He's a high school junior, and so I look at this as an opportunity to come and talk. I am a sociologist by training, although, you know, my nod to Michael Linden, we were talking, I am a Jesuit trained University of San Francisco and a former Franciscan seminarian. And so I have a context on these issues that I think is different from sociologists, although I never became a sociologist of religion because I thought that was too ghettoized somehow. I didn't want to study something too close to home. And so law appeared in that way, but religion has a way of bleeding back into laws on these issues. Today's talk, and I'm going to read from this and find, is the idea that things have changed, as Joseph said, and thank you for your introduction, your very intriguing interview. And I'm going to touch on four points today to start off with. From 2007 forward, we published a book called Sin No More in 2007, which had a critique which looked at the idea that America was becoming a center-right country, as Karl Rove hoped for and said, based on these issues, and that instead we thought that didn't ring right, that America wasn't. And largely what we do in this book, Sin No More, is establish, like Morris Fiorina, the political scientist, does, that we a fairly moderate country on a lot of issues, purple, if you will, and that the red-blue polarization is an artifact of the political process. And oftentimes people want pragmatic solutions, whether it's postpartisan, bipartisan, nonpartisan, in these ways. So having finished that, listening to Joseph's introduction, you know, I guess I keep doing work because things are always out of whack. You know, would that we could talk about energy policy, but I'm not an expert on that. Would that we could talk about building something and improving something and so forth. But I guess I talk about the fights that go on that we wish didn't go on and why they continue to go on. But the point today is the idea that they are different now and are different in the future. But if I wrote on November 5th, 2008, as Peter Beinart in here did, or Alan did, and so forth, full of optimism of what that election meant, one idea would be on my issues, narrowly.
It's working. So if you want to run through your slides, yeah. Great.
You tell me. Okay. What would be the effect? And now by February 17th, 2010, it's a whole different picture. And I'll make a little mention of that in terms of the shape. The thing that every time you do some work, you always say, what's the thing I wish you did more of before? And not enough religion in the prior work, because it's a fascinating field and growing more fascinating. And so with a nod of trying to understand, because it wasn't too long ago that American political figures ran from religion, didn't engage on religion, and the Democrats and their God gap. Then we have, you know, archbishops denying communion. You have the public square certainly engaged. And so I make a nod here at the beginning of the idea that, to my mind, the monolithic religion that really didn't exist, however you look at it, has moderated. And I look at the fundamentalists' presence in this country, the evangelicals, in terms of becoming maybe more Catholic-like, becoming more of a spectrum of American opinion, a more centrist with modernists on one end and conservatives on the other, as opposed to a very conservative group with very few in the other categories. As Joseph said, the reduction of these certain issues, and I picked two for today. I picked reproductive rights, abortion, and gay rights, and same-sex marriage. And I'm actually flip these when we talk, because I think in 2010 it still needs to be said that we have the same ambivalence that is reflected in the abortion discussion that we had in 2008 or 2006, or really for a number of years. And I'll show you a slide that I think depicts that. And my prediction is, as Joseph asked before, so what about the future? This stays with us. It's part of who we are. It's part of the moral complexity of this issue. It's certainly been used as an issue in political discourse. and maybe it's going to be used less. And then I'll touch on the fact, and maybe in a more graphic sense, some of the resistance to what had seemed like a bipartisan, postpartisan roadway in what I think was a 52-46 election. So it wasn't an 80-20 election, certainly. I'll use Peter Beinart to start. Soon after, this is a couple months after the election, right before the inauguration, that this president wants to be post-partisan and post-culture war, wants to say that these issues really are kind of an artifact of a time when we disagreed over things, but we have to move on to addressing more serious issues. He certainly succeeded as more than his predecessor, your Senator Kerry, in addressing religion as being perceived as authentically religious. And now I'm dating myself, because soon after 2008, if hope was the word, then nope, the resistance was there. And now by 2010, Mr. Ferry's art has been changed in new ways to deal with people who ask about the president's birth, about Sarah Palin and others who have talked about the provisions in any sort of health reform having to do with end of life, a subject on which I won't talk today, but I'm happy to. And the tea parties, which are entirely, there's Governor Palin's famous quote, one of the most famous phrases of 2009, stand in front of a death panel so as bureaucrats can decide based on subject of judgment. And for all the theologians in the room, that's, we could just have that one slide and start going from there, because there are pieces of that that talk about what we've had to do for 30 years and we'll still have to do. Has religion shown itself in a couple of years to be a reduced issue or a different issue? And I think it's certainly from here on out a reshaped issue, if it makes sense. And I'm, in a sense, using the framework of Catholicism in America and addressing of issues and representation positions to map onto evangelicals that over time I think would look more Catholic. These are the vote totals, the increases from 2008 over 2004. What I always find fascinating is if you're in the poll business, you have to say white Catholics, because the belief is that non-white Catholics will vote more on their economic status. Although in California, the issues of diversity become their own future question for us, which is, will the increasingly diverse California be the same? More moderate faces replacing the deceased and retired leaders of Reverend Falwell, Dr. Dobson. The idea that big tents were established, the idea that Douglas Kamak at Pepperdine Law School argued in an op-ed piece in the LA Times that the full range of the common good and the garment of life meant that one could decide to be pro-life and vote for Obama and the Democrats because of the totality of what positions were, no longer be a single issue voters. So the question that you can't see from this pullout, but this is, and if this isn't behind me, I'm in trouble, aren't I? This is behind me. And what happened in 2008, which is the top there, and it's, you know, that's the 50% line, is a drop in the, really in the year to how Gallup got polls. And there are people who said this is an artifact of something, and I'll leave this for you for discussion later. But it is, as Gallup measures, quite a change, and it's one of the changes over the years that is really distinctive about reproductive rights, that, you know, we are a fairly moderate group. This wonderful talk that I watched in its totality and with Father Hesburgh sitting there and really addressed the long Catholic tradition, I think the moral nuances of this issue. I teach at the University of California, so my students don't have necessarily the basis that Joseph or others would bring to this. In politics today, the idea that abortion, so we were talking about the health care reform earlier, and I don't think I even got onto this, the idea that, I don't know where we are now, maybe this fades away, but there was a moment when progressive women were storming out of Speaker Pelosi's office, and they said, what is this Stupak Amendment still doing in here? Why are you catering to these 40 people? And so does reproductive rights remain an issue? Certainly could, and that may not need to come back. I'm going to say two things about abortion that to finish. Gary Bauer of the and his group talking about the Super Bowl ad, the Much About Nothing Super Bowl ad, if you saw it, directs you to the Focus on the Family website to discuss issues about choice in America. And I put this up here for the sentence at the end. This Ameris poll, I think it's done for the Knights of Columbus, though, and we all get into our polls. Are they oversampling? And I certainly have plenty of colleagues and friends who would dismiss this as being weighted polling in some kind. But I always find these, and I'll find them in different places, about whether the young, who I'll counterpoint in a moment, as being very different from their elders on issues of same-sex marriage. Maybe different from their elders who fought for the first abortion rights in 1973 or part of the women's movement. But also the framing of abortion, as we wrote about, has changed over that time. Late-term abortion has become much more the face, the frame of it. And there's enough information to decide that this is an issue that's going to be with us, both intrinsically because of what it talks about and how we've approached it in other ways. Joseph, are you doing okay?
Yep.
Okay. I can come back to this later on, because with my classes, we always enjoy the usefulness. The point being, are we a society on which, on two edges, are people who are decidedly pro-choice and pro-life, and you can't talk them into other positions, and are we, you know, 50% of us in the middle and 25% on either side, people who say, well, here's the conditions under which, these are the ideas. And as a public issue, it has moved ahead and it's talked about often without this complexity behind it. And I think it's something that drives and is telling. And since I'm setting the table for talking, I will set it and move on. Counterpoint, gay rights. Something that as I teach to 20-year-olds, I say, if I was teaching this class in 10 years, and there's another set of 20-year-olds, would they go, why are we even studying this? You know, you're not a historian, this isn't a history class. Not just San Francisco, which of course California had a period during which people were allowed to be married and they were, per the Supreme Court, allowed to remain married. Phyllis Lyons passed away, but the lesbian activist from the 1950s. But Iowa, the heartland, Vermont and elsewhere. And I come back to the issues from Sin No More on the idea of the broad middle, the purple America, the moderation, that it's very common to look at this. If you look at this and say, well, we don't have 50% of people who believe in the country across all age ranges that same-sex marriage should be okay. But if you look at it and say, well, two-thirds of Americans believe it should be one or the other, civil unions or that, and that's a huge increase from years ago when this was something that wasn't discussed. It may not be enough for people who are committed to the position of the same-sex marriage as an issue. But this is something I go back to that I think in time will bear out, and certainly generationally will bear out. Joseph promised that I would mention Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or at least that he did, and this was quite bracing if you didn't have a chance to see it. In a class, I would show the clip of Senator Sessions from Alabama questioning Admiral Mullen, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And as I was listening to it, I got down his quote of saying that the evaluation of gay and lesbian soldiers is inconsistent with us as an institution. That's really got to be a striking moment for people to hear the representative of the American military say that. And the polling slide, which I took off in the interest of time, shows 60%, 65% that Americans have embraced this and said, so if you take, what was it, 17 years ago that this was first a policy, you know, the change in those times is. Even Salt Lake City, not a same-sex marriage in Utah, but an anti-discrimination ordinance, which really frames for us what the choices are and the idea of, you know, legal intervention and presumed bigotry and so forth. So I think I don't think this is a glib mention. This is the fact that we have risen up to a level of tolerance in the society to the extent this may fade away. And Russ Dutat of the New York Times, hired to be the conservative counterpoint to some of their other columnists, said in a different setting, or betting on the future of gay marriage, that, you know, we think that will fade away. So on those two core issues or key issues, different routes, different futures. But as promised, I wouldn't end without saying something about the fact that it's a nasty atmosphere out there that wasn't on November 5th, 2008. Fox News, I did miss them. They were on tour in Los Angeles the other day. Governor Palin's new book, which I read mostly on the elliptical machine. And if you, a room of academics saying, why? And am I going to go do this? It was, you know, I don't know these American can-do stories. It's like the Horatio Alger story, but a lot of it's wrapped up in kind of like, she's that plucky, can-do, outdoorsy woman, misunderstood for a certain thing. So it's got a kind of a classic theme on it, and I enjoyed it from the nonfiction category. 2011, lest we miss this, they're gearing up for the centennial of the birth of Ronald Reagan. And really belongs to Senator Palin, or to Governor Palin, on kind of the issues of whether conservatism is dead in America, which was also part of what we said on November 5th, if we thought a transformation was happening. The image is going too fast there. I told Joseph he can yank me at any time. The Tea Parties, I put this up there, an article by Michelle Goldberg at American Progress, simply for her wonderful term of furious dispossession. You know, trying to get at some of the anger and resentment that characterizes this as represented here. This is, I think, the Democracy Corps' focus groups, admittedly James Carville's group, admittedly a partisan group, but they did their own talking with people. The idea about whether we want to see each other fail. Whether progressives are criticized for seeing George Bush want to fail, you know, that the discourse we were talking about has changed the point where how do we meet on common issues if what we really want to see is the other team fail. And if you haven't had a chance to see that, that's, I get to come here today and show you. Obviously a photoshopped version, but, you know, just a bristling reminder of the issues of race in this society. But not without fun. I'm in Massachusetts. I decided it's a wonderful university, a college. From the perspective of a USF graduate, what a feel. And as a father of somebody who's looking at colleges. But I couldn't without having one of your alumni on here. For the reason that I think it did represent a serious issue. And the serious issue was that we used to have northeastern moderate Republicans. We had two senators in Maine, used to have Edward Brooke here, William Weld. There's certainly a long tradition. You see less of that. You see fewer conservative Democrats, or they call Blue Dog Democrats. But here's your new senator who said that he is pro-choice, although he enumerates, and this I think is central to the abortion issue, against funding of abortions, and that's where, you know, the support for Roe changes to not so much government support. He is against partial birth abortions, which is, as a frame, again, causes a majority of Americans to rise in opposition, and against parental, and in favor of parental consent laws, which, again, majority of people think, because now that we're of an age, we go like, I'd like my kids to tell me that, like my daughter do. Said that he thinks that the gay marriage issue is settled in Massachusetts. So he may have been the 41st vote and important in so many ways, but articulating maybe a more purple view. I don't know the homegrown view of what he will do or what he's expected to do. And so I leave with I had to find a Massachusetts hook, not the abolitionist John Brown, but the John Brown of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. His body, and now we're Scott Brown's body. You won't get many people saying this in an academic setting, and I didn't. There's no Cosmo picture out here today. But the question I leave on is, which of these truths will march on? Is it the truth of the late Reverend Falwell? Is it a reconfigured? Is it Rick Warren's truth that says, in a more moderate America, religion's view in this? Is it a view of Nair Allen and abortion right pro-choice activists who think that any sort of inclusion of conscience issues or so forth is necessarily, in a dichotomous sense, pulling it one way or the other? And so we will see.